The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
This episode was brought to you by Macy's. Spring cleaning. Let me tell you, the past few weeks at the Stuber household, I have literally gone through literally every closet and drawer in my house. It has been a long process, but boy, did it feel good. And I have my gals, Clea and Joanna from The Home Edit, to help. Thank. I love you guys. By the way, if you've not yet listened to our episode with them, you're seriously missing out. I promise you, it is that push you've been waiting for to finally get your house clean and organized. You know, one of my favorite parts of a deep clean is the excuse to shop after. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Macy's Friends and Family Sale. This year, okay, are you ready? Macy's is offering an extra 30% off brands that almost never go on sale. Levi's, Calvin Klein, Tommy Hilfiger, Nike, Gap, Legos, shout out Grace Stuber, and a lot more. My kids love anything Nike. I love anything Nike too, especially for sports practices. So you know, I immediately picked up all our Nike essentials, and giving a great Nike tennis shoe as a gift, you will always be a winner. Of course, I had to do a little shopping for myself since they're offering 15% off makeup and beauty. I stocked up on all my favorites. I got my Dior lip oil, Chanel powder blush, and my all-time favorite, It Cosmetics CC cream in medium neutral. I love the one that is not full coverage. So good. I actually bought two. I also decided to do a refresh on some bedding because I'm seriously obsessed with the hotel collection they offer at Macy's. It's so good. You guys, their sheets are insane. They look good. They don't wrinkle terribly. It literally feels like you're sleeping at a luxury hotel every night. The Macy's Friends and Family Sale is going on from April 25th to May 5th at Macy's.com, also in store. That's April 25th through May 5th at Macy's.com.
Hey, I'm Molly Sims.
And I'm Amisha Gormley. We're two girls obsessed with one thing,
beauty. And by that, we mean everything that makes you look
and feel
beautiful.
We're calling on our favorite health experts, industry insiders, and friends to answer all your beauty questions.
With a drink in hand.
Definitely with a drink in hand.
You're listening to Lipstick on the Rim with Molly Sims.
All right, we have really something important to talk about today that I think you guys will want to not only pay attention to, but get a pad of paper, get a pen, and listen.
Yeah.
Listen really well.
It's something that is important and saves lives.
Literally, it's about saving lives. We are going to talk about, on Lipstick on the Rim today, the breast cancer risk calculator. Now, I'm going to take you back a little bit. We had Dr. Thais Aliabadi on the podcast last summer to discuss the craze that is Ozempic and just what a badass Dr. Thais is. And at the time, my sweet co-host, Mary Alice Haney, more on that story later, but she was my guest co-host, and it was really amazing to have everyone together in that podcast. And what came out of that podcast was a new podcast with Mary Alice Haney and Dr. Thais Aliabadi called SheMD. And this is all about their journey and how we can do better with our lives and save lives and our health and all things wellness. And a little beauty.
A little beauty stuff.
Little celebrity.
A little celebrity.
But just really taking care of your health is the goal of SheMD. And it's an amazing podcast. You have to listen to it. Her practice guides women through all phases of life. And I think that's what you guys do very well on your show. You provide the latest cancer screening prevention techniques. She was most recently in the news for her pivotal role she plays in diagnosing and supporting Olivia Munn during her journey fighting breast cancer, which we're going to talk a little bit about. Her new podcast, SheMD, Dr. Aliabadi, Mary Alice Haney, they have become advocates for women all over the world. They just launched the SheMD Breast Cancer Risk Calculator, which we're going to talk about, and we are going to break down everything you need to know. You guys are going to be so inspired after listening to this hour. I'm so honored to have you both here. This is such an important topic. So I want to kind of take it back and explain who you are, what you do on a daily basis, and how the fuck we got here in terms of, you know, this breast cancer risk calculator, because this isn't something new.
No, it's not. It's been around for years.
But you're the one who's bringing it to light. And that's what we're so honored to have you here today.
Thank you.
Because you're saving lives.
Thank you for having me. And thank you for introducing me to my partner in life now. After my husband.
I'm your work wife.
You know, I'm a gynecologist. I've practiced in Los Angeles since 2002. And I would consider myself the biggest women's health advocate. Because one thing I learned 30 years ago coming into medicine was that women don't get the attention and care that they need. It's hard as a physician in private practice because it's so busy, you can only take care of your own patients, you know, and you really don't have time to go outside of that. And in order to do that, you need a platform. It's very rare for doctors like myself to have a platform or to have a voice, right? I've been screaming PCOS for 20 years, but it doesn't work, right? Until someone like Olivia Munn comes and says, let me share my story. Because by sharing my story, I'm going to save millions of lives. And I always told her when she was diagnosed. And, you know, Olivia's story, we'll get it, you know, into my story, her story. But it's not rare. It's not something that doesn't happen. It happens all the time.
Let's talk a little bit about her story because, you know, she's very open. This past couple of weeks have come out with her journey and having breast cancer. But what's so crazy is how she was diagnosed.
It happens all the time. So mammograms are standard of care for breast cancer screening. They're very good. They're the number one modality that we use to diagnose breast cancer.
And they catch 80%
right,
of cancer.
Right. So they catch 4 out of 5 cancers. So every time you do a mammogram, you have a 4 out of 5 chance that we're going to catch a cancer or a lesion. The problem is 50% of women walk around with dense breast tissue, 50%, right? And density of the breast doesn't come by you touching your breast and feeling it. It's a mammographic or imaging finding. So you have to look at your mammogram result, your MRI results of the breast, and the radiologist comments about your breast density. 50% of women have dense breasts. If you have dense breast tissue and you go and do a 2D mammogram, you might as well not do that mammogram.
Really?
Because 2D mammograms are just x-rays of your breast, right? And dense areas basically look white on the screen. So in a dense breast tissue, it's hard to see any lesions.
If you do your mammogram, make sure you ask your technician, your doctor,
Get the copy of your report
and see if it's dense. If it is dense, what we'd like you to do is take one step farther and say, I need an ultrasound.
Correct. Okay. Correct. Absolutely. The other thing we do with dense breast tissue is the following year, you can ask for a 3D mammogram. So 3D mammogram, 2D is just an x-ray of your breast, right? It's a 2D image. With a 3D, we get an image of the entire breast. Imagine going through pages of a book, one page at a time. So the radiologist is more likely to see a lesion on a 3D mammogram than a 2D mammogram in patients with dense breast tissue. So what I do, if someone has especially extremely dense breasts, which I did, what you want to do is you want to do a 3D mammogram, and I usually add a breast ultrasound to that.
Yeah, I think it's important that we know. So the first thing is get the report. First thing, get the mammogram.
Walk through what you do to every patient that walks in and what you did for Olivia.
When you say hello to me, I calculate your lifetime risk of breast cancer. That's what I do. That's the first thing that we do. So, and lifetime risk calculator that we use on GMD is Tyrer-Cuzick. Okay. That's what I use. It's, you know, standard of care. One thing that's important to know is a lot of radiology places where women go to get their mammograms and their ultrasounds and their MRI, when I get the mammogram report, they have actually calculated the patient's Tyrer-Cuzick lifetime score. And based on that, the radiologist will make recommendations. Now, this doesn't happen everywhere, but some centers do that. But what I do in my practice, if you walk into my office and you're, you know, 30 and above, first of all, I do a thorough history. I just want to know what kind of cancers you have in the family. Do I need to do genetic testing? and it takes 2 minutes using the Tyrer-Cuzick formula to calculate someone's lifetime risk of breast cancer. So once you figure out that lifetime risk of breast cancer, depending on what that number is, then
we start taking the steps to back into
Bravo.
It.
Bravo. So you can't just put every single person in the bucket, which is what our, you know, insurance companies want us to do, right? They say, don't do a mammogram until you're 40. Not true. Mm. That's false information.
That is false information.
And unfortunately, a lot of doctors, majority of doctors, you know, follow that rule, right? So it's important for women to know their body, to know their lifetime risk of breast cancer, and to know what to do with that information. I think Olivia sharing her story changed that, not only in this country, but around the world.
Around the world. I mean, I watched her video. I read everything, and I just was so, you know,
emotional,
and just overwhelmed by what she had gone through. And
but you know what? She took it. I'm so proud of her. You know, I worship her because she used her platform to turn something so negative into the most amazing positive movement in the world. You know, I told Mary Alice when I met her, I think we talked about this here, about all of this when I was here last time, but I started a documentary by myself and I, you know, documented my journey because so many doctors called me crazy when I wanted to remove my breast to avoid breast cancer.
Will you talk about your story and then we'll come back to your test?
I think my story is crazy.
Her story is crazy, you guys.
If you guys listened to our episode with Dr. Ari Nguyen, then you know I'm a huge advocate for doing everything you can to improve your gut health. And that's exactly why I started taking Armour Colostrum. After the first week of taking it, I was immediately hooked and has since become a permanent part of my daily routine. I'm sure you've seen people talk about Armour Colostrum on Instagram, TikTok, but let me tell you just a little bit about it because honestly, it is worth the hype. I noticed a big difference in my digestion, energy levels, but it also been a really big game changer in boosting my immune system. Did you guys know in clinical trials, bovine colostrum was found to be at least 3 times more effective than the flu vaccine at preventing the flu? God knows I need that with 3 kids that always seem to be getting sick. Armour Colostrum is different from other supplements. It's a bioactive whole food that is sustainably sourced. Also, did I mention hair growth and skin glow you gain from taking Armour? Whether I'm traveling at a sports game, on set, in the office, I keep my Armour packets on me. I take 3 to 4 scoops a day with cold liquids or food. Sometimes I really do try, to take a dry scoop into my mouth, which is really great for your oral microbiome. Trust me, try it. It's really good. The packets come perfectly proportioned. It could not be easier. Okay, we've worked out a special offer for my audience. Receive 15% off your first order. Go to tryarmour.com/lipstick. Or enter lipstick to get 15% off your first order. That's tryarmour.com/lipstick. Go to tryarmour.com/lipstick or enter lipstick to get 15% off your first order. That's tryarmour.com/lipstick. There's such a craze all over things, charm necklaces, bracelets, and for good reason. They really do elevate your outfit. I especially love chunky charms you can customize and stack with other pieces. Okay, guys, my latest obsession has been Heart Jewelry, a sister-led jewelry brand that's known for creating totally custom charm jewelry that is luxurious, unique, and long-lasting. These pieces feel and look high quality without the high prices. Okay, with Mother's Day just around the corner, I thought I would totally show you what I am absolutely loving at the moment. A custom charm necklace is truly such a perfect and meaningful gift. All their charms are plated with 100% recycled gold right here in the US of A using the most environmental friendly process possible. Their special gold plating process means the jewelry resists tarnishing for years, even decades with proper care. My favorite charm from Heart is my heart-shaped necklace with my kids' initials on it. It makes for a great statement necklace on its own or the perfect piece to stack with some other charms like my evil eye. I love, love Heart Jewelry because you can really customize your pieces to be unique to you. They also make it super easy. They have this like drag and drop tool on their website that honestly is so easy to use and really helpful. Picking out the charms shouldn't be overwhelming. I love to use their virtual styling tool and help me map out and design. It's totally complimentary and totally free. Okay, you guys can visit shopheart.com, use code LIPSTICK10 at checkout for 10% off your first purchase and free shipping over $100. That's shopheart.com. Use code LIPSTICK10 for 10% off your first order and free shipping over $100. Heart rarely ever discounts their custom jewelry, so this is a very exclusive offer to our listeners. Follow Heart, H-A-R-T, at ShopHeart on Instagram and TikTok.
I just want to set this up for you. She's a top doctor at Cedars-Sinai here in Los Angeles, California. Thank you.
I don't know if I'm, you know, I'm just a doctor. I'm just a caring OBGYN. But my story, I was 48. I have no history of any cancers in my family. I did not have any genetic mutations, no BRCA, no other gene mutations. I've never smoked. I've never done drugs, not even once. I've never been overweight.
You don't drink.
I don't
much
drink.
Much to my chagrin.
I don't drink. And I've never been on hormone replacement, nothing. When I was 48, I went for a routine mammogram and they saw something in my left breast and they told me to come back and do a biopsy. You know, for me, it's not a big deal. I just went back, did my biopsy. I got a call from my doctor saying that I had some atypical cells, atypical lobular hyperplasia. These are cells that are starting to divide and they're starting to look a little bit irregular, but they're not cancer. So at that point, you know, I knew that I had to do an excisional biopsy, remove that area. So I went ahead, did that easy surgery, went back to work. My path report came back and I realized there's more atypia in this lump of tissue that they removed. So I went to my post-op appointment to my breast surgeon and she told me, you're fine, we're done. Go and come back in 6 months. I said, okay. I went to my office and, you know, I always, you know, every time I want to get in trouble, I think the universe saves me somehow. I had a lunch meeting with a genetic counselor from Myriad. I don't know if you know Myriad. It's a genetic company. They're very reputable. And I was having lunch with him and I was like, yeah, this happened to me. I have atypical lobular hyperplasia, blah, blah, blah. He's like, did you do a genetic test? I'm like, yes, I've done it. It's negative. As we were eating lunch, he looks at me. He's like, have you calculated your lifetime risk of breast cancer? And for the, you know, for years, I've been doing it for, you know, at that point, I was doing it for my patient. And I just thought to myself, no, because I never thought, you know, I would even get breast cancer because I was so low risk. As I was eating lunch, I start, you know, I bring up Tyrer-Cuzick and I start typing my height, my weight, my age, density of my breast, extremely dense breast that increases your lifetime risk. Age of my first pregnancy, I was 34, so that bumps you up a little bit.
Does it bump you up if you have kids later in life?
Yes.
It does?
Yes. Yeah. And extremely dense breast bumps you up. But as soon as I checked off that atypical lobular hyperplasia and I had no family history, I pressed the calculate button. This number popped up on the screen, 37.5%. I almost fell off my chair.
And I 37.5%.
No history of cancer, no gene mutations, no real risk factors. So I called my doctor and I said, and I made an appointment. And I told her, I'm like, you know what? You told me to go and come back in 6 months, 37.5%. If you told me I had a 37.5% chance of getting hit by a car today, I would not leave my house.
No.
And she's like, don't worry, you're so healthy, you don't have family history, you don't have, your mammogram's normal, your ultrasound's now benign, we've done an MRI, it didn't show anything, you're okay, go come back 6 months. But I'm like, no, but I want a double mastectomy. She looked at me, she's like, no, that's crazy. I said, please, I have little children. I have a busy practice. I love my husband. I just love my life. I don't have time for cancer. Just take it off. I already had implants for years. I'm like, I don't care about my breast. I love my life. Just take them off. I understand it's crazy. I get it, but it's my life. 37% is too much for me. So I'm very stubborn. So I started calling people, asking people. Everyone called me crazy. Until I ended up in Dr. Oehringer's office, my reconstructive breast cancer surgeon. So I went to him, and as soon as I sat down, he's like, if you were my wife, you would have removed your breast 2 years ago. So he sent me to a doctor who was irritated too, and she said, okay, I will do it. I don't agree with it. I will do it for you. but you have to go get an MRI. So I went back to my hospital, did an MRI. Our head of MRI came out and asked me why I was there because I had done an MRI 5 months prior. And I said, I don't know, my doctor, I'm having a double mastectomy tomorrow. She wants to just triple check everything. She looked at me. She's like, you're having a mastectomy? You're crazy. And I didn't care at that point. I did my MRI. They told me everything's okay. I took those images to my other hospital where I was having my mastectomy. They looked at it. They said, it's okay. Go do your mastectomy. I do my mastectomy. The day of, my surgeon says, are you sure you want to do this? I'm like, why? Why is it so difficult for everyone to do this for me? She said, you know what she said? We have really good chemo for breast cancer.
Oh my God.
Can I just ask you, why not? Did you ever say that?
Because they told me I'm going to be disfigured. I'm going to lose sensation. I didn't care about any of that. Listen, it's such a personal decision. I never think of my breasts that way.
So you do the double mastectomy.
So I do the double mastectomy. It was an absolute nightmare. I was under surgery, under the knife for 10 hours. I bled out. For people who know what a hemoglobin of 5 is, that means I lost more than half of my blood volume. My blood pressure post-surgery was like 60 over 30. And long story short, I was still proud. The videographer who followed my journey has a videotape on me. I don't remember this. When I wake up from anesthesia, I looked at him and I said, go tell my children I will never come home telling them I have breast cancer. That's the first thing I said when I woke up with a hemoglobin of 5. I had still had drains coming out of my chest, but I was so grateful. I kept calling my friends. I'm like, I'm so happy I did this. I told you guys it wasn't a big deal. Look at me. I'm at Staples. I'm shopping. I was on a high, right? I get a phone call from my plastic surgeon, sweet, sweet Dr. Oringer. And I picked up the phone and he said, Thais, I just got off the phone with the pathologist. If you're in the medical field, you know that the only time a pathologist calls a doctor is when there's cancer because they don't want to send a report. They have to make sure they find the doctor. So as soon as he said that, I'm like, please don't tell me I have cancer. And he said, you do. But all this time they were digging in my left breast. My cancer was actually on my right breast at 6 o'clock. I don't know, I hope you guys don't ever experience that. But when someone tells you you have cancer, your brain shuts down. Because I was making a documentary, my husband pulls his phone out and starts videotaping me. I was just crying. I was so angry. I had so much anger towards everyone who called me crazy at that moment. And my brain shut down. And the only thing I could think was I was going to die. And, you know, I was like, I should have forced these people to do it last year. Why didn't I fight hard enough? So I wasn't even listening to what he was talking. You know, doctors start talking. I do the same, by the way. I do the same to my patients. Yeah. You're talking. I did the same to poor Olivia, you know, but patients just shut down.
Yeah.
And until you know that feeling, right, you don't know. I hope no one experiences that feeling, yeah, because it's traumatizing. I started crying hysterically. I went home. I remember my youngest daughter at the time was like 7. She would come to the room. I couldn't even listen to her voice because I kept telling myself, oh my God, I'm only going to listen. I'm going to hear this voice for only a few more years and then I'm going to die and I'm going to, my husband. And you know how close I am, yeah, with my husband. We function as one unit. And at that point, I felt so distant. I kept looking at him and I'm like, you're going to be around. You're going to go to our children's wedding. I'm the one dying. That's all I couldn't, right, even get out of it.
Yeah.
It's like traumatic.
Yeah. No.
God. It's like someone drops a bomb in, yeah, your home.
Yeah.
In your home, mm-hmm, with your children. And I cried so much and I tried to be strong. I never cried in front of my children. But the first thing I did, I called my children because I didn't want them to hear from anyone else. I, mm-hmm, sat them down. I'm like, remember, mommy took her boobs off not to get breast cancer. They found cancer, but I'm going to be okay. And one lesson I learned is you never lie to your children.
Yeah.
Because when you lie to them, they become so anxious. But when you're honest with them and you say, I'm going to be okay, then they trust you because, mm-hmm, they know you're not going to lie, mm-hmm, to them. Mm-hmm. So that's the biggest lesson in life I learned from my own journey. But that was my story. But my story doesn't even end there.
I know.
I mean, talk about trauma. I grew up in war, you guys. in, you know, I grew up in Iran. They took my dad's passport away. There were bombs coming on my head. I've never been traumatized like this.
As you all probably know by now, I just did a major closet refresh for spring. I'm really trying to master the quiet luxury looks this year. And after a lot of online shopping, I placed a massive order on Rails. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with Rails, they're an LA-based brand for women and men that has that perfect blend of casual California lifestyle with a little bit of an elevated European aesthetic. I love Rails because they offer a great selection of elevated essentials, which I live in. There's a section on their website you guys got to go to. It's called The Classics, which is basically a one-stop shop for all things quiet luxury. I ordered so many timeless pieces like the Athena sweater, which is this stunning cashmere navy and ivory stripe piece that's perfectly encapsulated for that mom nautical look. I found my favorite new jeans, the Getty Wide Leg Jeans in the color Moonlight Ocean. I'm going to say that one more time. They're amazing. The Getty Wide Leg Jeans in the color Moonlight Ocean. They're high-waisted, wide leg, and they are so flattering. The dark wash denim is also perfect to wear today to night. Another thing I love about Rails is that they are known for their quality just as much as they are for their aesthetic and style. So when I say you are investing in these pieces that will last forever, I actually mean it. To this day, I still wear sweaters I bought from them 2 years ago. From the perfect jeans and stunning satins to everyday shirting and wardrobe staples, Rails have you covered for literally any occasion. Okay, you guys are going to get free worldwide shipping and returns at rails.com. That's rails.com. Take 15% off your order with the code LIPSTICK15. That's rails.com. You guys are going to get 15% off your order with code LIPSTICK15. Has anyone else seen that viral tubing mascara that comes in a little turquoise bottle all over social media? I mean, I saw about 50 different videos on TikTok in one day. Needless to say, I was influenced and I immediately ordered it. Okay, it's called the Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara from Thrive Cosmetics. You guys, I'm kind of obsessed. You've seen me wear this lately. It's so good. It lasts all day. No clumping, no smudging, no flaking. And despite being long lasting, it's super easy to remove. Slides right off with warm water so you're not damaging your lashes. What I love about it is that the formula basically creates tubes around each eyelash to lengthen them. It leaves your eyelashes looking and feeling so good. The nourishing ingredients that support longer, stronger, and healthier looking lashes over time. While I'm on the topic of eye makeup, I also ordered the Brilliant Eye Brightener, which is a cream to powder highlighter stick that you can use all over your eyes for the perfect shimmery eyeshadow. It's so good. I have it in the shade Muna, M-U-N-A, which is the most stunning mauve, kind of a taupey color that I'm obsessed with. Another thing I love about them, Thrive Cosmetics, is that they're 100% certified vegan and cruelty-free. I love them. All their products are clean, skin-loving ingredients, high-performance, and trademarked formulas and uncompromising standards. For every product purchase, Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds to help communities thrive. So you can feel good about knowing your favorite beauty brand also supports communities you care about. Okay, refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics.
Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back.
We've got 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/lipstick. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/lipstick for 10% off your first order. You are going to be obsessed with the Liquid Lash Extension Mascara. I love it.
What I think added to your trauma is that when you get a double mastectomy, what's really important that when you pick your surgeon is that you pick your health over vanity, meaning that get every fucking piece of breast tissue
out,
no matter what you look like. And Thais, will you explain what we're talking about?
Yes, absolutely. So when you do a double mastectomy, double mastectomy means the surgeon goes in, they make a big incision, and they basically carve out all the breast tissue right under your skin, right under the nipple, and they have to take all of it out. But even in the best hands, they leave less than 5% of that breast tissue behind because breast tissue can go all the way up to our clavicle, to our armpit. So it's hard to take 100% of it out, but you want them to take about 95% of it out. In my case, because they did not expect cancer, I did my reconstructive surgery with Dr. Oringer at the same time. So 2 weeks after my surgery, with my breasts completely inflamed, I'm going to tell you my story so you understand why this is important. I was looking in the mirror. I called my husband. I'm like, I look like I had an augmentation. I had like these very large breasts, and I never had large breasts. And I kept grabbing my chest, and I'm like, I feel like I have breast tissue in my chest. And my husband's like, there's no way. You were under there for 10 hours. I'm like, I understand, but I feel like I have breast tissue. I call my doctor. I'm like, did you take all of my breast tissue out? She's like, of course I did, but you know, we can't take 100% of it out. We take like 95%. We leave 5%. I'm like, I understand, but I'm a gynecologist. This is not 5%. This is a lot of breast tissue left. She's like, no. You know how stubborn I am. I put myself in an MRI machine 2 weeks after my double mastectomy. Look what I had to go through as a physician, as a woman's health advocate.
You were a doctor at Cedars, and you still had to, no one believed you.
No one believed me.
And how much breast tissue did you have left?
About 35%.
Oh my God. I can't. Oh my God.
So she had to get a second double mastectomy.
I went for my first MRI, and they're like, why are you here? I'm like, I think I have breast tissue left. The radiologist came. She's like, you don't have anything. I'm like, I'm really sorry, but you understand that they also missed my cancer. So I have a hard time trusting people at this point. I'm traumatized. I want a second opinion. She's like, go get a second opinion. It was a Friday afternoon. They burned it on a CD. I go to another center next door, a radiology private center. They read it and he said, this is the cleanest MRI I've seen. There's no breast tissue left. My husband looked at me and he said, listen, you're traumatized. Let's go home. Let's go home. You're okay. Let's go home. I said, okay, maybe I am going crazy, right. You know, because you start doubting yourself, right? I went home, had a great weekend. That Monday, I had an appointment with Dr. Giuliano to do my lymph node dissection, because in order to stage breast cancer, you need lymph nodes. And I didn't have lymph nodes. He looks at me. He's like, Thais, I'm so sorry. I'm like, what? Now what? He's like, your MRI. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, all that breast tissue they left behind. At this point, I started bawling my eyes out in his office. And I looked at my husband. I'm like, stop calling me crazy. Everybody needs to stop calling me crazy. I'm just tired of everyone. I just want to run away. I just want to run away. And he takes me to a third radiologist who said, you have breast tissue here, 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 all on the same image, same MRI as Friday, where two chiefs told me I didn't have it. I looked at Julie.
Yeah.
I looked at Giuliano and I said, I want another mastectomy. He's like, you're crazy.
Like,
I can't have people call me crazy anymore. I just can't. You have to stop calling me crazy. Call me crazy, but I want to have it. I signed a consent for a double mastectomy.
I want a double mastectomy.
I want a double mastectomy.
So you went back in and had another double.
Oringer, sweet Dr. Oringer, said, I'll do it again for you. Let's do it. But Giuliano told me you have to wait 6 weeks to recover because I still had drains out of my chest. They pulled the drains. I wait 6 weeks. I go under. And when I woke up, he came to me and he said, I'm so glad you made me do it. They had left 35% of your breast tissue behind.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's crazy.
It's crazy.
There's nothing I can say. You know, I love doctors. I'm a doctor myself, right? I'm not here, you know, no one said all radiologists, all images should be, you know, read correctly. There's human error. But my journey, like every step of the way, I was dismissed and I was dismissed and I was dismissed and I was dismissed. My mom called me one day. She's like, let me tell you one thing. The only reason you went to medical school was to save your own life today.
And you did.
I did.
And now you're here and you're telling your story and you have Olivia and people like Mary Alice, that you're going to help be that woman to save lives. So explain the breast risk calculator. What kind of questions are you going to be asked? And then what do you do once you have that number?
The breast cancer risk calculator that I use is Tyrer-Cuzick. And basically, it calculates a woman's lifetime risk of breast cancer over 10 years and over her lifetime. And basically, you have to punch in your age, your height, your weight, density of your breasts, which you can get from your mammogram report, your family history, date of the age when you first started your period, the age where you first had your first child, whether or not you're Ashkenazi, whether or not you've had a breast biopsy, and whether or not you've been on hormone replacement. And you basically answer all these questions, and at the end of it, you just press calculate. It's important to know that if you live in the United States, in the first category, when they ask you which breast density system we use, it's the BI-RADS. So click on the BI-RADS. The rest of the questions are very simple to answer. Once you have your lifetime risk, you can go to the action plans and know exactly what to do for that specific risk score. And go to shemdpodcast.com. You can scroll down. There's a tab that says calculate your risk, and you just hit it, and then the formula comes up, and you can just punch in your information. And once you have your number, go to the action plan, and you'll know exactly what to do for that specific risk score. This is you being your own health advocate. It's very important. Just like you know your name and your last name, you should know your lifetime risk of breast cancer.
Well, and I think it's important because we talk about this so much since when we first started this podcast, you know, meeting on this podcast. And I mean, is that the reason you wanted to put the lifetime risk calculator on our site, and the reason that you spent a lot of time with our action plan with videos for every single stage is that it's not enough just to do the risk calculator. You also need to understand what to do when you get your number.
And, yeah, let's talk about that. So you have high risk, mid risk, mm-hmm. and low risk.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
If you have low risk, what's the next step?
So when you do your lifetime risk, you get a percentage. If that percentage is less than 15%, you fall into the low risk category. But I want to make a comment about low risk. Low risk is less than 15%, right? So 14% is low risk, right? 12.5 is average risk. So an average risk for breast cancer is 12.5%. Molly, if I told you you're about to board a plane with your family and your children, and this plane has a 12.5% chance of crashing, would you board it?
No.
Exactly. So 12.5% is a big number, and that's average. So you start, as an American woman, you start at 12.5. So you start at 12.5, but what does that mean? It means that if your risk is less than 15%, you still need to have your mammograms done every single year starting age 40. Now, if you find something on exam, if you have breast pain, if you have nipple discharge, if you have discoloration of your skin, if you feel a lump under your arm in your breast, then you have to be more aggressive about it. So at age 40, with a low risk percentage, you start your breast imaging mammogram. If your breasts are dense, you add a breast ultrasound to it, right? If your risk falls from 15 to 20%, then you're in the intermediate category. Intermediate category patients need to start breast imaging at age 40 with a mammogram or 10 years before their first degree relative was diagnosed with breast cancer. So if your maternal aunt had breast cancer at, I don't know, 45, then you have to start imaging at 35 and not 40.
I think it's actually really important. There's a lot of myths out there. And when it comes to women talking to other women, you know, oh, and I'm talking about that age group that is between the 35 to 45 that may not have had a lump, right? So I'll give you an example, right? About a month before my mammogram, I was feeling pain in my armpit, right? And I remember talking to a friend, like, oh my God, like, and you may know my daughter, I had a very similar thing with my daughter. She was diagnosed with cancer almost 2 years ago. And it was, I was told I was crazy as well. And it's an instinct, right? You know, you need to take care of what your intuition
tells
you.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And so I was paranoid, to be perfectly honest, because I had PTSD with dealing with my own daughter. But I remember talking to a friend and she said to me, oh, breast cancer lumps don't hurt. But you just said if you're feeling, you know, pain or there's nipple discharge, I think that there are a lot of these myths out there that women pass right. to one another that is important to also dispel. Like outside of this risk calculator, is that a true fact that breast cancer lumps don't hurt?
So it depends, right? If you have a lymph node that's stuck in your armpit, it will cause pain.
Yeah.
It will. Right. But if it's in the middle of your breast, it might not hurt you. But if you feel a lump, if you have abnormal nipple discharge, if you have skin changes, if you have a lymph node, if you palpate something specially under your armpit, just don't ignore it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think
that's
important.
The key is don't ignore it.
Don't ignore it.
Okay. So high risk.
20% or more, you fall into the high risk category. What does that mean? It means that instead of starting your breast imaging at 40, you can push it all the way back to 30 and you can start your breast imaging there. Insurance companies will pay for you to do your breast imaging. And usually I start with a mammogram and ultrasound, and you can definitely consider adding an MRI in the high risk category. There's also a very high risk category in my practice. I made that up. That's the Alia body, very high risk category. I consider that personally 35% and above, because I feel like anyone with 35% and above, they need to wake up.
But you're not telling every woman that she needs to get a mastectomy.
No,
either.
And that's exactly what I wanted. That's a very good point. And mastectomy is a very personal decision. And I always say this, for a woman who lost her mom at age 14 to breast cancer and has so much trauma from that, 25% might be a high enough number that she would want to proceed with a double mastectomy. And I've had patients, I tell them you have an 82% chance of breast cancer, and they look at me and they say, you're crazy. I'm never going to do anything about that.
82.
So it's a very, very personal decision. I want to tell women out there what their options are when they go above that number, right? Okay. 35%. You have several options. Option number one is you have to be imaged every 6 months. So you do mammogram and ultrasound, 3D mammogram diagnostic with ultrasound. 6 months later, you do an MRI. 6 months, and it's nerve-wracking. I don't know if anyone's done an MRI, you guys. It is traumatic. It was for me. They literally give you an IV. They put you in a tube.
Yeah.
You're on your stomach. They inject the dye. It's like... Mm-hmm. I don't like it. So you have to do that once a year. Mm-hmm. I just want to put it out there. So that's option number one. You just go through this every 6 months. Mm-hmm. Option number two is you have the option of going on a medication called tamoxifen, which is anti-estrogen. So it almost blocks the estrogen receptors, right? So what it does, it will reduce someone's lifetime risk of breast cancer by 50%.
Which is a lot.
Option number three is a double mastectomy. So there are some women who will choose to do imaging every 6 months and they have no problem with it. I had a huge problem with that. I didn't have time. I didn't want to wait for my results. I was right.
Yeah.
I did try tamoxifen and I could not even stand up every time I sat. I would get the worst muscle spasms. I have patients who tolerated really, really well, but I was starting to I had foggy, my memory was getting foggy. I was tired. I was losing hair. I just didn't feel well. And that's how I came to my mastectomy decision.
Right.
So it's not like I just woke up one day and I said, I want to cut them off.
Yeah.
So I went, but those are the three options and there's no fourth option.
Yeah.
So I want people to know that.
Wow. Okay. My risk genetic test. Tell us about it.
So there are a lot of different genetic test companies out there, and it's important to listen to this, right? 23andMe is not the cancer genetic test, but that's a common confusion. I have patients, they come, they're like, 23andMe told me I don't have BRCA. The way I describe it is, and someone told me this and it made sense, is when you want to look into someone's DNA, you have to decide how far deep in you want to drill into the ground, right? You can drill superficially and get some information, but you can keep drilling and going down, down, down. So the most respected, the best available genetic test right now is the MyRisk test by Myriad. It's been around for many, many years, and I'll tell you why I like that.
Will you spell that for us?
Yes, MyRisk, MyRisk. So MyRisk, you can go on their website or you can go on shemdpodcast.com And we have a tab that links you to their website.
And we're going to put all of this information into the show notes so they can come to your podcast, they can take the test, they can know where to go.
Right. So the reason it's I like MyRisk, number one, it's a diagnostic test. Number two, they check for 48 cancer-causing genes. Not all of them are breast cancer, but at least maybe 20 or 21 of them are breast cancer-related. And I want people to know that, you know, I have patients, they come and they're like, well, I don't have BRCA. BRCA is from years ago. We keep adding gene mutations that are associated with breast cancer. A PALB2 gene will give you a 50% lifetime risk. ATM will give you about 52, 55% risk of breast cancer. So it's not just BRCA. You have to look at other gene mutations. So that's number one. So when you do the Myriad test, you can do it with sputum or blood at the your doctor's office, and you get a report back. You get three rows of information. The first row basically tells you whether or not you carried one of those 48 cancer-causing genes. So you want to see a green banner, right? Green means they tested you for 48 cancer-causing genes and you don't have any of it. The second line under that is the risk score, which I do use. It's not standard of care, but it's very helpful, and I'll tell you why. As you scroll down in your MyRisk report, they calculate your Tyrer-Cuzick score, which is what the formula we have on our website. But risk score is Tyrer-Cuzick plus little genetic markers in your DNA that individually cannot hurt you. But if you have a lot of those markers, it can push your lifetime risk up. I had a patient 2 days ago in my office with a family history of prostate cancer. Insurance will pay for you to take the Myriad test. I did the MyRisk test. Her Tyrer-Cuzick score was 13%, right? Because she had no family history. Tyrer-Cuzick just goes based on your height, weight, density of the breast, your family history, age at menarche, age at your first child. So it's all history. But because they found a lot of these DNA markers in her, her risk score went up to 23.5%.
Really?
She looked at me. She's like, I don't have any family history of breast cancer. I'm like, I know, but in your DNA, you have markers for it. So I put that patient in my watch list. Do you know what I'm saying? This is a patient who would have been completely missed.
You know, it's all about really just trying to get educated. I love what Emisha did with Jenny. It's that she was like, okay, her and her girlfriend, who's a really great girl, no one wants to do it. They go together. They go have lunch after, get a partner, go do it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, however you get to your doctor,
yeah,
do it.
Yeah.
Ask your questions.
And advocate for yourself
advocate for yourself.
Advocate for yourself.
And for your children.
And for your children.
And listen to yourself. Like you said, Emisha, Thais, I mean, you guys fought. You fought like mama bears. You fought for your health. You fought for your child. Like, listen to yourself.
No, I mean, you have no choice but to advocate.
I can write a book, you guys. I have so many
stories. By the way, you should write a book. Then you can come on the podcast and talk about it again.
Do you feel like we've come further in the last 5 years with doctors listening to women, advocating for themselves?
Do I think it's changing? That's why I started this podcast. I think, you know, Biden has put a lot of money towards research in women's health. I think we just need to stick together. You know what the problem is? And I've said it for years and years. Number one, majority of OBGYNs, if you look at your doctors, they're heavy with the OB practice, right? Delivering babies. If you've ever delivered a baby, it's traumatic when you wake up in the middle of the night. Your body have nothing left. When you've been up all night and you go to your office and you have to now see 40 patients, you're exhausted. And now all these GYN patients start showing up, right? Who need their breast cancer assessed. They have endometriosis. They have PCOS. And you have insurance companies will give you 15 minutes to see these patients, right? Doctors are overworked, underpaid, sometimes get abused by the system, you know, not sometimes, I would say all the time. So, and at the end of the day, there are patients who pay for it.
Yeah.
So I think the only solution to this, and I've been in women's health for a very long, since my 20s, the only way is to separate obstetrics from gynecology, let the doctors who want to do OB deliver babies, and let the gynecologist take care of the GYN patients. Because someone who delivers 5 babies a week does not have the energy. It's impossible to come in and give 100% to the GYN patients in her practice.
I never thought about it that way.
Yeah. No. Smart.
I've said it for years. Yeah. It needs to be separated.
Well, and we talk about the reason that we started this podcast was to get this information into every woman's hands. All, you know, whether it's PCOS, endometriosis, fertility, breast cancer, arming as a group, we women, and you had to deal with this with your daughter. You had to deal with this with yourself. But it's, you have to know what to do with it.
Education.
Just educate yourself.
Yeah, it's true.
And advocate.
Rapid fire.
What's on your bedside table?
My Arimidex cancer pill.
What's on your bedside table?
Progesterone.
What's your favorite book of all time?
What's your favorite book?
Oh, my new one is The Nightingale. I just love that one.
I saw that.
Can I answer that too?
Yeah, what's your favorite book?
Untangled. If you have daughters, read it.
Yes. Most used app on your phone?
Candy Crush.
I do Candy Crush. Isn't that weird?
What level are you?
I'm terrible. I don't know.
I'm at 3,100.
I have no idea.
But then my daughter told me they're 10,000. So I was very disappointed.
Just when you were feeling good about yourself. You can follow Dr. Thais Aliabadi at Haney Official and She MD.
I wish I was there with you all.
Podcast. You guys are amazing.
We love you.
Thank you for
Molly.
Having us.
You guys, thanks so much. It was incredible. Thais.
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
Mary Alice, thank you for changing my life too.
I love you guys. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening to Lipstick on the Rim with Molly Sims and my ride or die, Amisha Gormley. We are always so excited to bring you guys along on this journey. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok at Lipstick on the Rim, or my website where we just dive a little bit deeper into my favorite products, trends, and much, much more on mollysims.com. This podcast is a production with Dear Media. A special thanks to my team, Elizabeth Tawfield, Schaefer Carrillo, Kenna Ryan, and Anna Sessions, and everyone at Dear Media. Don't forget to listen and follow wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss out on the fun.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.